Today's Bible reading, reading 1, is taken from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6, and reading 2 is taken from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. So, first reading, Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. The second reading is taken from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law, or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness? Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does themselves shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Before David comes up, we're going to encourage each other by saying the words of the Apostles' Creed. And I'll ask you to stand for this one. Not that the Apostles' Creed is any more or less important, but we've been sitting for a while. Let's say these words together. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Apostolic Church, the fellowship of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please take a seat.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. It's also good to see a few more physical Bibles out there and looking along. So thank you for those who responded to the email. Keep those Bibles coming in. It's good for us, each other, and it's good for our guests to see that we're people of the Word. So let's physically show that by bringing our Bibles along. Let me pray as we dive into Galatians chapter 3. Father, as we come this morning to your word, we have some old familiar truths to us, but we pray that you would take these truths and make them alive to us, because your word is living and active, and we ask that these truths would penetrate our hearts, and it would be for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Wente Anglican Church, has somebody cast a spell on you? Who has hexed you? Who has said an incarnation over you? Has somebody pointed the bone at you this morning? I mean, can you imagine hearing those words? If someone, just like I did, spoke those words to you like that, it's a shocking thing to say to a church, isn't it? But that's exactly what Paul says to the Galatians. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" It's as though somebody has cast a spell upon you. Has somebody hypnotized you? See, Paul can't believe what he is hearing. In fact, he even asks, he says in verse 3, "Are you so foolish? You foolish Galatians," in modern terms, have you lost your marbles? Have you lost the plot? Are you out of your mind? In fact, one author, J.B. Phillips, he said the best way, when Paul says, "You foolish Galatians," he says the best way to translate this phrase is, "You dear idiots." In other words, it's affectionate. "You dear, dear idiots. What have you got so wrong? What are you doing?" Remember who he's speaking to as he speaks these words. He's speaking to people who have put their trust in Christ. These are Christians that he's speaking to, and yet he's calling them dear idiots. Why? Well, remember the backstory of this letter. It's that Paul had said to this church that things go in this order. What happens is you put your trust in Christ, and then you get accepted by God, and then you obey him. But some false teachers had come into the church, and they were something very different. They changed the order. They said, "No, Paul got it wrong. Here's what you need to do. You put your trust in Christ, and then you obey him, and then you get accepted by God." You see, they'd flipped the last two around. They were telling the church, if you want to come to Christ, you want to be accepted by him, you've got to be circumcised. Could this be us? Now, I know the temptation for us is not to, you know, go out and duck out and get circumcised. That's not the temptation for us this morning. But could it be that we fall into the mindset that is exactly like the Galatians? And we fall into the mindset that says, you put your trust in Christ, and then you do your good works, and then you get accepted by God. Is that our mindset? I mean, we can say with our mouths that Jesus alone is what saves us. But then we can go ahead and live differently, can't we? Like, we don't believe that. I mean, deep down, do you really believe that your approval before God is based entirely upon what Jesus has done on that cross? Do you believe deep down that the very reason you're beautiful to God is because Christ died for you, and that's the only reason? Do we believe that deep down? If we do, then why do we feel guilty about things when we do the wrong thing? Why is it that we haven't forgiven ourselves for things that have happened in our past that we've done? Why is it that we haven't forgiven other people? And we hold the sin of other people over them. If they've been accepted by God, why can't we forgive them? Why do we do things out of guilt instead of out of the sheer love that we have for our Lord? Could it be that the devil has cast a spell over us and made us believe that we're not saved by Christ alone? I'm even more and more convinced that this truth is something we need to hear. It's an old truth, it's a familiar truth, but it's something that we need to have sink deep down into our hearts so that we desperately believe this. Here's what we desperately need to believe this morning, straight from this passage. Three things. You ready? We need to hear again that the Christian life is the life of faith. And we need to hear, secondly, that it's always been that way. And the final thing we need to hear is that there's no other method to be saved. The Christian life is the life of faith, verses 1 to 5. It's always been that way, verses 6 to 9. And there's no other method, verses 10 to 14. Let's have a look. The Christian life is the life of faith, first of all, verses 1 to 5. Look at verse 1 of this chapter. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Christ Jesus was clearly betrayed as crucified. See, Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed as crucified, you Galatians. That word clearly betrayed in Greek, it literally means graphically. Graphically. It means to write up on a poster for everybody to see. It's like a public announcement that you can see in a town square. It was publicly displayed for you to see. Here's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, when I came to preach the gospel to you, I didn't just tell you the facts. You didn't just get the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. You know how you got it? You got it graphically. You began to see how real it was. You saw it before your very eyes. It wasn't just a fact to you. It got deep down into your heart. It changed you. You know, one way you can tell you're a believer is if the death of Jesus has moved from being a fact to something that's very real to you, to something that has penetrated deep into your heart. And so what Paul does next is he asks a series of questions. And questions are good for waking us up, aren't they? And that's exactly what Paul does. Verse 2, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? That's the question. Do you see his question? Did you receive the Holy Spirit because you got circumcised and because you kept the law? Or did you receive the Holy Spirit because you trusted in Jesus? See, how did you become a Christian and get the Holy Spirit? Did you get it by doing or by hearing? Did you get it by obeying or believing? Did you get it by trying or by relying? You see the question? How did the Holy Spirit come to you? Did the Holy Spirit come when you cleaned up your act and you got your life together and you stopped sinning and you started obeying? Or was it from simply believing a message? And of course, the answer the Galatians would give is, I became a Christian because I got the Holy Spirit when I heard the message and I believed it. See, friends, we're not saved by doing, we're saved by believing. We don't become Christians by doing something to earn God's acceptance. We become Christians when we hear the gospel preached and we put our faith in Christ. Notice, you know, some people think you become a Christian just by believing God exists. That's not it. You don't just believe God exists. That's not it. It's believing, do you see, what you heard. It's believing in the gospel message. And so the question of, do you believe? Do you have the Holy Spirit? It's the same question. It's exactly the same question. In other words, in this room, we don't have two levels of Christians. You know, there are some who believe, and that's great, and there are some who believe, and they have the Holy Spirit, right? There's no two levels of Christians. If you believe in the gospel message, and you've trusted it, you have the Holy Spirit. The Bible never teaches that there is a second blessing. You heard people say that? There are people who will say, oh, you've become a Christian, that's great, but have you had the second blessing of the Spirit? Oh, let me tell you how to get that. Friends, that is not what the Bible teaches, and anyone who teaches that, point them back to Galatians chapter 3 and show them that you get the Spirit simply by believing the message. There's no rank system in Christianity. All of us, when we believe, we get the Spirit. We all do. It's about hearing the message. And the way that you continue as a believer is the very way that you start. Look at verse 3. He says, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again, I ask you, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? See, his question is, if faith is the thing that got you through the door, do you think your effort's going to keep you going? If you started the Christian life by grace, are you going to end by works? Notice again how the focus is upon believing what you heard. Okay, let me say again, that's how you become a Christian. That's how you get born again. It's as simple as believing in the message of the gospel. Faith is how you begin, but faith is how you continue as well. See, we don't believe that you get in by faith and you stay in by works. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is the life of faith. It's a trap that we can fall into mentally. You know, we can think, oh, I'm a Christian, I was saved by grace, and now what I need to do to keep going, I now need to try my hardest to obey. And that will help me stay a Christian. Friends, that's not the Christian life. Okay, we do have to work hard at obedience, that's true, but it's not in order to keep us saved. See, that's the heresy. That's the heresy of start by faith, continue by works. I mean, can you imagine? I was in a Ferris wheel yesterday. All right, there's a backstory to that which I won't go into, but I was in a Ferris wheel, and Luna Park. You know, we're going around the Ferris wheel, and when I was at the top of the Ferris wheel, I called out, "Hey guys, can you stop the Ferris wheel? I'd like to push it myself." Right. And they just all looked at me like I was a lunatic. Now, I didn't really call out, but it's a good sermon illustration, isn't it? And it shows that the way that you start is the way that you continue. You don't begin in the Ferris wheel. You begin in the Ferris wheel by the motor going and pulling you along, and you don't continue by you pushing yourself along. That's not how it works. That's not how life works. And that's not how the Christian life works. The way you start is the way that you continue. It's foolish to think that we can begin by trusting and we continue by our own effort. Friends, think about the problems that you have. Why is it that you get so hurt by people? And you know, you lie awake at night and you're thinking about what that person has said to you, and you get so angry and it's so hurtful. Or, you know, why is it that you drink too much? Or why is it that you have a secret life that nobody else knows about? Why is it that you have problems with fear? And there's somebody that you just can't forgive. You know why it is? It's really a theological problem. Behind all our problems is theology. It's a theological problem. We've got the same problem as the Galatians. We've started by faith, but we're continuing by our works. It's the problem. It's because we're trying to do the Christian life in our own strength, and that's not going to cut it. That's not where the power comes from. What we really need to do is we really need to rest in Christ. Are you trying to do the Christian life under your own steam? It's not just a bad idea, it's actually foolish. And we're in danger of doing it. That's the first thing Paul wants us to know. The Christian life, it's the life of faith. It's a life of trust. And the second thing he wants us to know, verses 6 to 9, is that it's always been this way. What Paul is telling us is old news. It's as old as Abraham. Look at verse 6. So also, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It's a quote from Genesis chapter 15. All Abraham had to do is believe God, and he got given righteousness. Okay, it's the same for Abraham as it is for us. You don't do anything except believe. You simply consider something to be true. Abraham believed a specific message that God had told him, and what he got in response was righteousness. Do you know the story of Abraham? We read a bit in Genesis 15. There was a time when God took Abraham outside of his tent when he was 99 years old, and he told him to look up at the stars in the sky. Beautiful black night where you could see all the stars in their glory. And he said, Abraham, can you count those stars? Can you tell me how many there are? No. That's how many offspring you're going to have. That's how many children you'll have. And we're told that Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now that word credited, it's an accounting word. Right? It's what happens when you work for a full week, you slog away, work like crazy, and by the end of the month, what happens? You get your pay packet and you look in your bank account and your employer has credited you with your hard work of pay with cash, with a digital amount of money in your bank account. That's what you get, right? Your hard work is credited to you with money, all right? It's the word credited, it means the credit that is stacked up in your favor. It means that something is counted as yours, right? See, Abraham, he didn't become righteous. He was credited as righteous. See, Abraham, and the amazing thing is, Abraham did nothing to work for it, right? Abraham did nothing to rack up the credit. In fact, when you read about Abraham's story, you discover what a sinful man he was. Do you realize that? I mean, Abraham, he kept doubting God's word. He came up with his own shortcut method of bringing about God's promises. He lied to a king about his wife and told him that she was his sister. There's so many places where Abraham is presented to us as a sinner. And yet, when he believed God's word, his faith was counted to him, credited to him, as righteousness. Now it's in his name. What that means is he's got the value of being righteous. That means that when God looks at Abraham, when he looks at this sinner, he sees him as being acceptable to God, righteous in his sight. That's what it means to become a Christian. It means that you, if you believe, you get treated as you have fully obeyed Christ. It's stunning that a sinner can be treated in that way. Abraham was a sinner, and yet he was credited as righteous. And you know what? 4,000 years later, it's the same for us. We get credited in exactly the same way as Abraham. The principle hasn't changed. Whether you're an Old Testament saint or a New Testament saint, The truth of how you get accepted by God is that it's by faith, and faith alone. And friends, this is not just for Abraham, it's for the whole world. Look at verse 7. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So all who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. See, anyone who takes God at his word, just like Abraham did, gets exactly the same blessing as Abraham. Isn't that good news? And it's anyone from any nation. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what nation you are. It's for anybody. Anyone can be right with God if you just believe that Jesus Christ was crucified for you. It's always been God's plan for all people from all nations and all cultures to be saved. That's why God said to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. There's the gospel told in advance to Abraham. The rules were always the same, that you are saved by trusting, not by doing. And as you read the Bible, friends, when we come to the Old Testament and we read the story of all these heroes in the Bible, we're not reading stories of men and women who are good moral examples. We're reading stories of people who had trust in God. So, friends, continue in the Christian life in the same way you started. It not by performance, but by grace. It's the way it's always worked. And the final point is, there's no other way. Verses 10 to 14. See, why is nothing else available? Why is there no other method of being saved? It's because nothing else works. Verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. He's talking about the law of Moses, and the law has a pass mark. You know what the pass mark is for the law? 100%. 99.9% is a failure. That 0.1%, it actually matters when it comes to the law. And the reason is because a holy God requires perfection. A holy God can't even stand 0.1% of a sin, right? You have to keep all of the law all of the time in order to be accepted by God. The law is about do. Verse 11. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. See, here's what Paul's saying. He's saying the law and the gospel are like chalk and cheese, oil and water. Okay, the law is all about doing. You've got to do this, do that, keep this law, stop eating this food, and you'll be saved. The gospel is about trusting, right? And what Paul does is he puts two quotes together from the Old Testament, Habakkuk 2 and Leviticus 18. You know, one of the quotes says in Habakkuk, the righteous will live by faith. But Leviticus says, the person who does these things will live by them. See, you couldn't get two different quotes. The righteous will live by faith, and the person who does these things will live by them. Here, what we've got are two approaches to life. Two ways to live, if you like. One approach says, you've got to do. You've got to work. And you'll live. There's only one tiny problem. You've got to do everything. You've got to keep it all. You've got to do everything the law demands. See, think of the law as like an overbearing headmaster. You know, an overbearing headmaster says,
if you step out of line, you're out of here. Now, you need to be perfect to be in this school. You've got to do exactly what you're told. And that's what the law's like. The law never says to you, oh, don't worry, you did the very best you could. No. The law says, I'm sorry, your best is not good enough. The law never says, oh, don't worry, boys will be boys. It's okay. No, the law never excuses your nature. The law never says, oh, you're only human or you were born that way. No, the law never makes any excuses like that. Those aren't excuses when it comes to the law says you've got to keep the law 100% of the time, and if you step out of line even once, you're out of here. All right? The law says, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. But the gospel says there's a better approach. This is the only way. It's you stop doing and you approach God by trusting. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order to bring the blessing, in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. See, the curse of the law is death. And under the law, a covenant breaker could actually be stoned to death and then strapped up to a pole or a tree as a reminder that this person was a covenant breaker. This person was actually under a curse by God. And you know, there was only one man who never broke the law even once. There was one man who fully kept the law 100% of the time. And yet, he was hung up on a tree. And he was cursed by God. God had his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, publicly executed and hung up on a tree, publicly shamed for everyone to see, cursed by God. Why? Because he was taking away the curse for us. See, all of us are under a curse. You know what the curse is? It's called going to hell. It's called being cut off from the presence of the living God because of how we've lived. And Jesus Christ took that in our place. The Lord Jesus Christ, he took our curse and he took what was coming to you and me. Are you under a spell? Have you started the Christian life by faith, but you're continuing by works? Here's what you need to do, okay? Here's what's going to break the spell. Are you ready? Okay, we're going to break the spell now. Ready? Here we go. Okay, Jesus Christ died to make you beautiful. Say it after me. Say your name. Jesus Christ died to make David beautiful. Say your name. Jesus Christ died to make beautiful. Now, do you believe that? Get it into your heart. Believe it. You and I, we need to see Jesus Christ as graphically crucified for us. We need to let that truth sink deep into our heart. Christ is our Savior. The curse of the law has been lifted. There's no courtroom in heaven that can ever throw the book at you and say to you, get out of here. No, because of Jesus, God is going to say to you, come this way. I've got a place for you. You're welcome in my presence. You've been pardoned. You're righteous. You're beautiful to me. Come this way. And look, if you're like me, sometimes in your Christian life, you get frustrated by the lack of growth that you see in your own life, don't you? You look at your life and you think, oh man, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why am I thinking that way? And you get so discouraged. And sometimes you think, I'm not changing, I'm going backwards. Am I the only one who feels that way? I'm sure you feel that way too. We get disappointed with ourselves. Here's the key. Here's what we've got to do. We've got to stop trying to improve ourselves. The way we grow as a Christian is the way that we continue as a Christian. We need to keep relearning the gospel every single day. Stop changing the course. Don't do it according to our own strength. Put our eyes on Jesus. and be dependent upon the Spirit as we keep looking to the cross. And friends, that will break the spell of us thinking that we can do it by our own effort. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we pray that the truth of the cross would sink deep, deep down into our lives, that we would see that Jesus Christ was crucified for us, and that we would live by trust in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.